Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. It's freezing today, Jason.
I know. It's, oh my goodness, I can't believe it.
Yeah, I know. It's so cold.
What's the high supposed to be for today?
Eight.
8 degrees.
I heard something about the globe warming up.
I know. If you're out there listening, take a can of hairspray and release CFCs into the air, please. Walk out your front door and just start spraying till the can is empty.
Please, you know, we need some warmth. You know, it's cold.
Liberals are so stupid.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Wait. Oh. Before you go into the Leonardo thing.
Okay.
Jason.
Yes.
Today.
Yeah.
It's Pearl Harbor Day.
Uh-oh. And the liberals celebrate that, right?
No.
Well, I mean, it's America getting what they deserve, right?
No, they're upset with us.
Why is that?
For getting in the way of those Japanese bombs.
I know. And they say that America is this aggressive, colonizing country. Yet in World War II, we got
occupying.
Bombed. We got bombed in Pearl Harbor. In 9/11, we had planes flown into our building. That wasn't even the first time. And we still weren't doing much with terrorism. So we get pummeled, and yet they think that we're this aggressive nation. We didn't do anything. I mean, it would be completely different if we were bombing Tokyo beforehand. And you know, it's like
you always say, Jason.
Liberals are so stupid.
Yes. Took it right out of my mouth. It's the truth. Liberals are stupid.
But you know what's great about a cold day like today? You can show how liberals are so stupid, because it's always a fun day to talk about global warming when it's 8 degrees outside. And it should be 8 degrees outside. It's winter. It's December. That's fine. But when liberals are about to blow a blood vessel in their head, have an aneurysm because of global warming.
That's not an exaggeration.
It's not.
They are about to blow a blood vessel.
So I have a quote here. DiCaprio was recently on Oprah. And he said, global warming is not only the number one environmental issue that we're facing today, but one of the most important issues facing all of humanity. We're in a situation right now where we're basically emitting too much of this carbon pollution in our cars and our electric power plants that burn coal in the atmosphere and causing our planet to heat up.
Wait. What does Leonardo drive?
Well, he's got several cars. He owns two SUVs, which are killing the planet.
Right.
But he drives around in a hybrid car for the cameras.
Yeah.
Which
that's
is so funny. You know, it's hypocrisy to the highest extreme. Barbara Streisand, I still have no idea why she's so popular, but she's popular. She was talking to Diane Sawyer and said that we're in a global warming emergency state. Now, what is Barbara Streisand doing about global warming? You know, one of the things she did about global warming?
What?
She had an appointment in Beverly Hills. She took a motor home to Beverly Hills so that she didn't have to use public restrooms. Now, how bad can the public restrooms be in Beverly Hills?
If I had a mobile home, I would take it. You never know in Beverly Hills.
But she's
the one that's saying that we're warming up the planet.
Yeah.
We're going to destroy our whole atmosphere.
We're in a global warming emergency state. And if we're in an emergency state, you should take drastic measures. You shouldn't be driving around in a mobile home so that you don't have to use a public restroom.
Right.
And of course, Barbara Streisand, she owns an SUV.
You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah, what's
that? That book, Animal Farm, where everybody's equal, but some are more equal. It applies to everybody but them.
You know, it's such a they're so full of hypocrisy. Barbara Streisand also maintains a 12,000 square foot air conditioned barn for the animals, because we have to love the animals. But we're in a state of emergency, Barbara. Come on, the animals can heat up a little bit. It's so
Jason,
funny. Yes.
Did I just say Animal Planet?
No, you said
Animal Farm.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
But, you know, it's amazing. And there's a we got a whole bunch of these examples of liberal hypocrisy. There's a
well, there's Al Franken. What did he do?
Well, of course, Al Franken, as with all the liberals, when you're losing a debate with a conservative, you call him a racist. So what is Al Franken, of course, is not a racist. He would never be a racist. But he's hired less than 1% of African-American employees over the past 15 years. And I thought he was a liberal, all for affirmative action and hiring minorities. And
did someone just write a book about him, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire? I think so. Yeah. But, and you've got Michael Moore written down. That guy.
Well, Peter Schweizer, who's apparently a conservative, I don't know much about him, but he just wrote a book called Do As I Say, Not As I Do. And he's got all these examples of what the liberals will tell you and then how they actually live their life. Just like Congress, they say, well, we have to raise the minimum wage. But they actually make themselves exempt from that law. So you don't have to – a congressional page does not have to be paid minimum wage. And the argument that the politicians made is, well, we can't pay the minimum wage because then we couldn't hire as many pages. Of course. That's the whole point. There's a limited resource that you have, and if you pay someone more, if you pay 20 employees more, you might have to get rid of another employee because the cost – you can't just print money.
Well, it applies to everybody but them.
Exactly. So Michael Moore, who's of course made Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine and Roger and Me, just horrible movies – that he just twisted the facts. And, of course, one of the big targets in Fahrenheit 9/11 is Halliburton, which is the big defense contractor that Dick Cheney was president or vice president of, something like that. He's good at being vice president. I don't know. So anyway, so Michael Moore really condemns Halliburton for all the stuff that that they do. But come to find out, on his tax returns, he actually claims that he owns 2,000 shares of Halliburton.
Oh, my.
What an idiot.
Jason, I just caught a snippet of that in Michael Moore and Halliburton. I thought it was a joke.
No. But they're so blatant in their hypocrisy. They don't get it. Now, his latest movie, the one that he's working on right now, is condemning the pharmaceutical industry because they have this thing that can cure people. And so they don't have a heart. They should just give that material away. They should give those pills away. How cold-hearted could this industry be that they want to profit from sick people? Well, Michael Moore owns 3,000 shares of Eli Lilly, which makes pills. So it's not really even Eli Lilly that's making the profit. It's the shareholders that are making the profit, and that is Michael Moore. So he's going to make a movie pretty much condemning himself. But my guess is that he's going to sell those shares before the movie is released because the stock prices probably will fall.
Well, or he'll be under a whole lot of scrutiny for it. But how does he think these companies are going to be able to continue if they don't make a profit?
Absolutely. And who can, you know, if a pill costs $1,000 per pill, but it will cure your diabetes or it will cure whatever disease, then but it took all that research and development in order to find the cure for it, isn't it worth it?
Yeah.
And of course.
Absolutely. And you know what? I have personal experience with this. There's a member of my family that needs some really costly pills. And I found out that pharmaceutical companies do provide free medication to people who make up to $50,000 a year. So what more can you ask for now? That member of my family is getting medication completely free.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the pharmaceutical companies are the big, bad, rich cat kind of guy. It's not that way at all. They do have programs. But I bet you he'll never bring that up.
No, and I don't think I'm going to watch the movie, but maybe I will just to see the way he twists the
I can't stand looking at the guy.
Oh, I know. It's so – if he was just a cameraman, that would be one thing. But when you watch the movie, you have to look
at him.
It's just, it's just so wrong.
Well, he lies, and I have a hard time with police lying and just bald-faced lies. I have a hard time dealing with watching that and not yelling at the people. So it's tough to do that. In a theater, they have a tendency to throw you out. So
one of the big hypocrites in this book's Do As I Say, Not As I Do is Nancy Pelosi, and she's a Democrat from I think in the San Francisco area. She's the majority leader in the House. And she says that she prides herself in being called a liberal. I don't consider myself a moderate. So she should be espousing all these wonderful ideas, and she should be translating that into her life. So let's see how she translates that into her life.
Okay.
So now in 2003, Nancy Pelosi was given the Cesar Chavez Award by the United Farm Workers Union.
Uh-huh.
So she's a great advocate for unions. Pelosi claims that unions are essential in achieving fair wages, pension benefits, and medical coverage for hundreds of thousands of working families. Unions are, in her words, fighting for America's working families and battling the union-busting, farm-herding Bush administration, or family-herding Bush administration. So it would be interesting if she owned a farm, so we could see, you know, if she was really, truly deserving of the Cesar Chavez Award.
Let me guess. She owns a farm.
She does own a vineyard. Yes.
Oh my.
Surprise, surprise. And guess how many of the, let's see, how many, she has about a dozen employees. Guess how many of them are union workers?
I would guess none.
You know, did you look at my notes before the show?
No, I didn't.
Yes, that's correct. None of them are union workers, even though they're, you know, they're American families and all this stuff. But, of course, Nancy Pelosi is kind of poor, so therefore she really couldn't afford to pay these union wages. So, but, of course, that's not true either, because she's a multimillionaire. And her assets, according to public disclosure, because she's a politician, are somewhere between $25 million and $102 million. Now, apparently, they don't have to be very precise on these public disclosures, because that's $75 million of leeway there.
Mm-hmm.
But she obviously is not hurting for money. Now, the other thing is she owns she's partners in a chain of restaurants called Piatti's. So the chain boasts of 900 employees. Guess how many of those employees are union workers?
Let me guess, not a one.
All right. So let's see. Is she involved in any other industry? Let's say she's also a part owner of a golf course.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So, and of course, she's an advocate of the common man and all this kind of stuff. So
what's the membership in this golf course? I heard that this golf course is supposed to be open to the public, though.
Yeah,
it's not a private course.
Well, that was one of the stipulations. They put in a group of small investors in 96, put in a permit request to Santa Clara County Planning Commission to build a 275-acre golf course and resort just south of San Jose. So that's where all the dot-coms are at, that kind of a thing. So the permit was granted with some reluctance because of environmental and public access concerns. So to get the permits, Lionsgate, which is the name of the group they created, made several commitments to the county. For one, the partners promised to build a public course where 60% of the tee times would be reserved for the general public. Well, we'll see how that goes. There was also environmental concerns about endangered species, things like that. So when the club started, they offered private memberships at $250,000, $250,000 for a membership.
For the general public? So you join in next week, Jay?
Well, I wouldn't be able to visit all that often since it's in California. But it would be open, I guess, to the general public if they had the $250,000 it takes to become a member there. So, and then there were also concerns. They drained a bunch of ponds, and they were supposed to rebuild these ponds for these endangered species. Now, the endangered species the city claimed, or the county claimed, was the California tiger salamander and the western pond turtle. Now, I didn't know that the pond turtle was an endangered species, but apparently it is in California. So, but of course, when they got the permits, they built the golf course, they're raking in all this money from all these contributions. And then the county comes to them and says, well, wait a minute, you didn't follow any of these stipulations. What's going on? So what does Pelosi do? Does she apologize and say, oh, I forgot about the common man. I forgot about these poor endangered species. I'll do everything I can to fix it. No, she sent lawyers in to fight the regulations. She said it was unfair that they're doing this to her. So,
well, I guess you can do that when you're getting $250,000 membership fees.
It's amazing. So
now, these people who think that everyone else should just lay down and do everything an environmentalist tells you to do, and if you don't, you hate the earth, you're willing to destroy civilization for your own selfish gain, and she's going to fight it.
But they don't follow that their own logic. And in fact, Bill Clinton was, I think, one of the best examples of this because he had the right view on abortion, according to the liberals. They would not question him when it comes to women's rights.
Perfect example.
He could abuse any woman he ran across, and the liberals would defend him to the death because he had the right view on abortion and, of course, women's rights.
Well, abortion is a sacred cow, and women are dispensable.
Yeah.
Disposable.
So, and of course, Hillary Clinton is of the same opinion as Bill. And Hillary said that 13-year-old girls are capable of deciding to have abortions without their parental consent.
Oh, really?
But the hypocrisy comes in is when Chelsea, at 13 years old, wanted to get her ears pierced. Hillary would not let her. And she said that Chelsea wasn't ready for them.
She isn't ready to have her ears pierced, but she's all for her being able to go to an abortion clinic without her knowing, have a surgical procedure performed on her, risk her life, maybe die in the thing, but she can't have a hole poked in her earlobe.
No. And of course, legally, that's the messed up world we live in, is where you have to have a parental consent to have your ears pierced, but to go in and have an abortion in many states, you don't have to even tell your parents, let alone get permission.
Right.
And of course, parents should not be able to give permission to kill their grandchild.
That's
but
for sure.
It's such a such an amazing dichotomy there that that Hillary would do something like that.
You have another article that I stole off the table earlier that I just read a quote from Hillary. It just blew me away. It says the New York senator told wealthy San Francisco contributors during the 2000 presidential campaign, for instance, that if Democrats win, we're going to take things away from you on behalf of the common good.
Mm-hmm. That's liberal guilt. The rich liberals think that, I mean, they're upset that they have all this money, I guess. Now, what's amazing is they'll shelter that money in all kinds of different places, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but they do feel guilty about it.
But, Jason, that's the definition of communism.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to take from you and we're going to give to them, and I don't think they've got one bit of guilt, actually. I don't think there's any guilt. I think what they think is they're going to take all the money and control it. I mean, that makes them a whole lot more powerful when they're in control of bigger slices of money and power.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's much guilt in Hillary's little head.
Well, and speaking of the governments and communism and so forth, Noam Chomsky, who's a big liberal, he's a linguistics professor at MIT's Department of Linguistics and Philosophy. What kind of department is that? Linguistics and philosophy. Why would that go together? But anyway, he's compared America to Nazi Germany, and he calls capitalism a worse form of tyranny than communism.
How?
Well, I don't know. He didn't explain it in the
article. Never do, Jay.
Yeah.
They never do.
What's amazing is all these liberals, they hate America. Gwyneth Paltrow said that she loves Europe and she's embarrassed about America, their policies, whatever, but she hasn't moved away yet. It's amazing. And there's so many quotes from Hollywood leftists that just absolutely hate America. But Noam Chomsky, he calls the Pentagon the most hideous institution on the earth that constitutes a menace to human life. Now, where's the hypocrisy in that? He's a liberal. He thinks military is bad. But here's the hypocrisy. Chomsky himself has been paid millions by the Pentagon over the last 40 years. When he joined the MIT faculty in the 1950s, he signed on with the Research Laboratory of Electronics, which is funded entirely by the Pentagon and a few multinational corporations. And, of course, the liberals
see what I mean, Jay? It doesn't mean anything as long as they're getting the money. They don't have guilt.
Exactly. And so he says later on he set up these tax shelters because he doesn't want to give away any of his money. And, of course, he said before that tax shelters are bad. He said massive use of tax havens to shift the burden to the general population and away from the rich are a bad thing, you know, that the rich are sheltering their money. But, of course, he does that. And later on in the article, he says, well, I don't apologize for putting aside money for my children and grandchildren. And he shouldn't. He should. He shouldn't have to be taxed on the profit he's made his whole life. He's worked his whole life. He's already been taxed on that money. And so when he dies, he shouldn't be taxed again. But we're not the ones advocating the death tax. It's the liberals that are advocating the death tax. So he shouldn't be ashamed of that. And then he said he did say that the tax shelter is acceptable because he and his family are trying to help suffering people. So he's doing good things with his money. So he shouldn't give that to the government.
So he's playing God, and he's doing the right thing. The rest of us, well, we're not smart enough to know how to do the right thing or where to do the right thing, so we don't get the same privileges he has.
Absolutely.
I get it.
Well, he's smart, and conservatives are dumb. Republicans are evil, and you know what are Republicans going to spend their money on? You have to spend the money eventually. So you buy a $3 million yacht, let's say. Well, somebody's got to build the yacht, and I don't think millionaires are building the yachts. So hey, somebody's going to get paid.
Who do you see on a yacht all the time?
Ted Kennedy.
Yeah. And yeah, go to Hyannis Port, and there he is. Every time you turn the TV on, he's sailing something.
Yeah. So where did
driving a car into the ocean or sailing?
Oh, yeah. So where did Ted Kennedy get all his money? Well, of course, he's a politician, so you get paid really well to be a politician. But the majority of the Kennedy money was made in a company called Merchandise Mart. And that was started by Joe Kennedy, the father of the whole Kennedy clan back in 35. And according to this latest book, over the course of six decades, Merchandise Mart expanded and was eventually merged in 1998 with another real estate trust. And that's a big word, is a trust,
because
that's where they sheltered all. So
can you tax a trust?
Well, we'll get to that. the real estate trust for $625 million.
Wow.
So they set up this trust so that they don't have to pay taxes. So where did the Kennedys set up their trust? In Massachusetts, where they're from? Everybody knows the Kennedys are from Massachusetts. Well, no, they didn't set it up there or in New York or Florida or even California. They set up their trust in Fiji.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, so... So when Joe Kennedy died, the family's fortune was acknowledged at between $300 million and $500 million. So with the trust and all the things that they had sheltered, so they didn't want to give the money to the government, even though these are needy families, right? I mean, that's what the liberals always say, is that the rich are being greedy and we should give our money to the needy families. So how much do they pay in taxes? Well, the effective inheritance tax they paid was approximately point, not even a full percent, but 0.00004. I don't even know how to say that. I mean, it's, you know, it's not 4/10. It's not 4/100.
How many zeros there?
There was 1, 2, 3, 4 zeros and then a number. So that's how much inheritance tax they paid.
Oh,
now,
wow.
Don't get me wrong. They shouldn't have to pay any inheritance tax.
That's right.
But these are the liberals who say that the rich should give to the poor. So he's taking the money from these poor people who are on welfare to give it to his own children who are multimillionaires. So, and of course, he doesn't just cheat when it comes to inheritance tax. There was a 1980 investigation by the Chicago Tribune that the Kennedy-owned Merchandise Mart had avoided paying millions of dollars in property taxes. So the property in question was worth about $35 million, yet the tax assessor had set the value at $22 million. So they were only off by $13 million. So, of course, when the property is assessed at a lower value, you don't have to pay so much in property taxes. So they got a discount there.
Oh.
This is
just so typical. I mean, you could go on for 3 days.
Now let's do some more Kennedy bashing, because it's always fun because he's such a huge liberal and a champion to the liberals. So during a recent speech at a national press club, he demanded that America take immediate action to reduce global warming. All right, so where do we get global warming from? We of course get global warming from fossil fuels and oil and so forth.
Yeah,
and of course Ted Kennedy should know about the evil oil companies, because over the last half century, the Kennedys have acquired the mineral rights to a huge parcel of land in Texas, Oklahoma, Mississippi, Florida, and Alabama. Initially, they placed these properties in three oil companies they owned. So Ted Kennedy wants to get rid of global warming and all this stuff.
Jason, maybe he's just bought these oil companies to close them down, cap off the oil wells, and protect our planet. What do you think?
Well, I don't think so. So Ted Kennedy said that the oil industry causes deaths and contributes to global warming. And he should know about causing deaths.
You know, he so most certainly should.
So anyway, for over the course of decades, these oil deposits have generated tens of millions of dollars of profits for the Kennedys. And, of course, that can't all just be absorbed by one person. So the extended family gets around $50,000 to $100,000 a year from these mineral rights.
Wow.
So you wonder why Ted Kennedy doesn't want to drill in Alaska. Because, of course, he's already providing American oil. So, therefore, why increase the supply? You don't want to do that. So it's just it's amazing. And then, of course, he doesn't want to pay taxes on the profits he gets from these oil companies. So in 1985, the family came up with an ingenious idea. They converted the oil companies to a royalty trust. So the Kennedys established the Arctic Royalty Limited Partnership in Kansas. Now, the Arctic Royalty in Kansas, I thought we were getting global warming, and they want to set up an Arctic.
Yeah.
So they no longer pay any corporate taxes on their profits. So
isn't that wonderful? Well, they are the epitome of everything they accuse the rich, fat cat Republicans of being. I can't understand, Jay. Why can't the general public get it? Why can't they see? The people that continually put the Kennedys in office, that continually put the Clintons in high esteem.
Here's why they can't see it. Because the Republicans...
they don't know how to read?
They do the same thing. Republicans say that we're for smaller government.
Oh, I understand
that. It's so amazing.
Well, I'm not a Republican.
Yeah, exactly. Neither one of us are Republicans. But the federal budget expenditure has gone up consistently. It's just a nice little curve going to the ceiling. Now, we have a Republican president. We have a Republican-controlled Senate. We have a Republican-controlled House. Everything should be going our way. George Bush has not vetoed one bill since he's been in office. So he doesn't have any major disagreements with the legislation that's being passed. But since 2001, the energy budget has gone up. Guess how much percent? So 100% is doubling, right?
Right.
The energy budget has gone up 15,911% since 2001. And that's Republicans doing this. The Republicans are not fiscally conservative.
So what would that suggest to you? That the general public needs to get a grip, figure out what's going on, read, make decisions according to what they can see and understand and figure out.
Yeah, and so we love bashing the liberals, but you can't just turn a blind eye and support the Republicans. You have to see what they're doing. And Tom Tancredo, a representative from Colorado, he says that the Republican base is getting depressed and angry. And so they should get depressed and angry because we should be living in a Republican, a conservative heyday. We control everything. We should get everything we want. But the government continues to grow and grow and grow. One of the huge problems is that Bush just came up with this Medicare entitlement. So that's going to cost us about $724 billion in the first 10 years and $2 trillion over the following decade.
Do you think that Clinton could have passed that? I don't.
Yeah,
I think that once the Republicans get in, they get everything they wanted from leftovers from when the Democrats were in because the Republicans don't watch.
The Democrats tried with Hillary Care, and that fell flat on its face. But when the Republicans are in office, nobody's watching, and they can pass all kinds of entitlements so that they look nice.
Okay, folks, don't forget Maranatha Christian Center.